Guys were here Wednesday night for the talent show. Wasn't that awesome? Those kids did such a good job, and we were so proud of all of them. It took us guts to get up here and do what they did, and man, they did it with perfection. And so we're just so grateful for what the Lord is doing in our kids, and we're just so we can bring that, put that right over here. We're gonna cook a roast today. I'm just kidding, but we will use this for illustration. And so we're talking about blended families today. We've been in this series, Strong Families in a Broken World. And how many of you guys know that we are in a broken world? It doesn't take much to look around and see brokenness pretty much everywhere we look. In many of our families, you know, we see brokenness. So a blended family, what is a blended family for all of us who may not be familiar with the term? A blended family is a family where at least one parent has children that are not legally or biologically related to the other parent or spouse. Interesting statistic, 40% of the United States is made up of blended families. And so while you might not particularly be in a blended family directly, perhaps maybe your sister, your brother, your cousin, someone you know is probably in a blended family. So it affects us all to one level or another. And so don't come into this message like, oh, well, he's talking about blended families. Mine's perfectly normal. And so it doesn't apply to me. No, the Word of God applies to all of us. And so I believe there's something that each and every one of us can get from this this morning. And so far we've talked about marriages and what that looks like to have a godly, strong Christian marriage. And by the way, 13 years today, my wife and I, happy anniversary. Amen. So we talked about marriages, and then we talked about children. And so today we want to talk about just blended families. And, you know, so when we think about history, even in the Bible, we see examples of blended families. We can go all the way back to Abraham. And he had, if you remember, he had two wives. You know, the first one, he had Sarah. And it was through Sarah that God was going to bring about the promise, right? He was going to bring about the promise, he was going to bring about Isaac through Abraham's lineage. But it was going to be through Sarah. And now we know that the promise also included the fact that the Messiah would come through the lineage of Isaac. And so this was the promise. He tells Abraham, look, as numerous as the stars are in the heaven, that's how many descendants that you're going to have. And maybe you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of kids. But if he says, also, if you can count the sand on the seashore, then you can number the amount of children or descendants that you will have. So this was a blessing that God pronounced over Abraham, but it was intended to go through his wife, Sarah. Well, as you know the story, Abraham becomes a little impatient, right? And so he does things his own way, right? And anytime we do things our own way, we just kind of mess it all up. And so he goes through Hagar. And so Sarah says, hey, take my servant Hagar and go into her and have a child with her. And Abraham's like, okay. And so they have this kid together. And we instead of being the promised one, this really, through Ishmael, we get, you know, the enemy of Israel, basically. We get the Muslim faith, and we get this totally different line, this lineage, but all because man was trying to take things into his own hands. But nonetheless, imagine, if you will, Abraham living with his two wives, and so these kids are having to, they're living in this blended family situation. And it doesn't only end with Abraham. Two generations down the road, maybe you know of his grandson, Jacob, and how many wives did he have? He had a bunch, right? So he had Leah and Rachel. They were sisters, but they were married to the same man. You could about imagine what kind of drama went on in that house. Like, no, that's my husband. No, that's my husband. Oh, you always take the good things from my life. And so you could about imagine that the drama that went on just with in that particular context. And so we see this blended family. And what I want you to know is that if you're in a blended family today, you're not alone, all right? And so God has always used, and he has always restored. He has always had a purpose through blended families, all right? So keep in mind that, yeah, your family, it may be blended, but God used Abraham. God used Abraham and his family to bring about the Messiah. He brought about Jesus Christ. And so I'm hopeful today, amen? I'm hopeful for every blended family that God, that there is hope that of restoration, and that God still wants to use you and your family. Amen. So my wife would like to take over.
I am? You didn't say any of this.
Oh, my bad.
And I was like, okay. And so I think it's so important to speak Jesus over our families. We can go by what we see, and that's like the, you know, like faith is not what we see. And so, but it's so easy to go by what we see in our families. And that's maybe even if you see that outside your extended family and say, okay, well, that's what I see. So therefore that's what it is. But I speak the name of Jesus over my family, even if I can't see it. And I think in blended families, we have to do that even more and say, even though if we go by feelings or what's going on in that particular moment with our kids or our families or our blendedness, we're gonna go really down really quickly. But if you would start believing in faith, okay, God, I see where you used Abraham's family. I see where you used even Ishmael, that God says he has a plan for him. So we see that, and then God's saying, okay, even in my blendedness, I'm speaking the name of Jesus. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus. I'm going to believe in faith for a strong family. So,
amen. And so in my previous marriage, I was in a blended family. And so she had two kids. And so it was a lot of difficulties that come along with a blended family that most families don't have to deal with. And so for one, there's this hurt that she has carried, you know, been hurting relationship after relationship, and that gets carried into the marriage, and so then the new spouse is having to deal with this as well. If that person has not allowed Jesus to heal those wounds, then that same mess is carried right into the next relationship, and nothing has changed. Nothing has been healed. And so we have to allow Jesus to heal those wounds, to really heal us in those moments. If you have been divorced, to let him really heal you. And so there's heartache. There's couples who have children who start off with children, don't have that time together. And, you know, I'm so grateful that Tara and I, whenever we got married 13 years ago today, that we had time together, just the two of us, you know, to really build on our relationship. And we know that's not the case with blended families. You're kind of thrown into this, you know, automatically. All of a sudden you're a parent. All of a sudden you're having to care for other kids that may not be yours. And so you haven't had that time together. And so there are difficulties that come along with this. There's this new dynamic of stepfather and stepmother or stepchild, or and so there, you have to work all this out, and you have to try and figure all this out. What does this mean? You know, there's, you know, and as the case with me, there's this bond, you know, between the mother and the child. And perfectly fine, right? A mother should have a bond with the child. But then at the same time, she was so guarded, right? And she never allowed any man to hurt her again, all right? And so the problem becomes, well, the husband is now fighting for attention, or, you know, the husband feels like an outsider, or the wife may feel like an outcast, like an outsider looking in, whereas there's this bond between the biological parent, you know, and the other spouse is just kind of on the outside. So there's all kind of different dynamics going on that's happening. But the thing about it, and we can talk about so many more, take the children, for instance. The children suffer the biggest in this, because they get torn. You know, they have to spend time with mom, they have to spend time with dad. They love both of them equally, but they're having to, you know, first of all, they're seeing dad with another woman, they're seeing mom with another man, and so this, it's hard for the kids to really process this. You know, they're having to share their time that they would normally spend with their parent, they're having to share that with their step siblings or their step parent, whoever it may be. And so there's this all kind of different challenges. And but I just want to say, even though there's challenges, we're going to still learn how to blend well this morning. And we believe that as we put God first in our relationships, we love first, that God's going to smooth everything out. And God's, like in time, God's going to have his way. Amen. So while there are many obstacles the blended family must overcome, we will learn to overcome them. And I would recommend this book as well, Building Love Together.
Okay, so when we adjust, we always tell this when people get married. We do marriage counseling. Any part of your life, if you don't have a blended family, we want to make sure you know these points are for you, okay? But if you do have a blended family, we also include adjust your expectations. We say this when you get married. You think your marriage is going to be like a fairy tale. And how many people know your marriage is not a fairy tale? Just me. And so, okay, it's a couple of us in the room. And so we have this expectation of, this is what my marriage is going to look like, or this is what my family. I don't know if you remember back in the day, there was Beaver to Cleaver. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they had like a picture, and it was like perfect. It was like 2.3 kids and like a white picket fence, and everything always went well. And you look at that family image and you think, well, my family doesn't look like that, or my family is blended, or I have adoption, or I have fostering, or I'm a stepmom and the kids don't like me, or you know, that kind of thing happening inside the family. And then we just feel defeated because, well, my family is not like the picture perfect family. Now, all of us in the room know that none of our families are picture perfect. What I post on Facebook is a lie. I'm just being honest. It's a beautiful picture of my family, but do you know how long it took me to get a beautiful picture of my family? Come on, you know, that took us 20 minutes to get one that was halfway decent, and still one of my sons are sticking out his tongue like this, you know, like in the picture. But we look at media and we think, oh, that's true. But that's not true, because I don't expose to you all the times that things are bad in my family, which is a lot of the time. And so, you know, or somebody's punished or somebody's has a problem. And so I think what we do is we put our expectations like, which is going to be, it's going to be like a perfect right away. Am I blended? I'm going to get married to this new person and boom, we're going to have a perfect family. And it's not. It's never going to be that way. It's not in a real family, whatever family your family looks like, our families are just an image, but we are not perfect. Jesus is. And so Abraham, we go back to the story of Abraham, and he too has this expectation. Well, God gave me a promise, so I'm going to have this kid. And yet he goes and has a kid with another woman. And so then he's saying, okay, well, the expectation is down, like it's way down. And so Abraham had to change his expectation, because now he has something that's a little bit different. He had to align his faith with the promises of God rather than what a picture of what he thought it was going to look like. This is all of our lives. We always have a new school year, and my kids are going to, I don't know if y'all do this. We always pray a blessing over our kids for school. And then like 2 weeks later, I got a teacher calling me up on the phone, and I'm like, dang, you know, that blessing. And so I don't know. And so here I am. And we have these expectations of marriage, of graduation, of whatever we have. And yet Abraham said, no, I have to change my expectation. Whenever I got married, I had this expectation. I'll just share one. I thought we would like cuddle. I don't know. I thought cuddling was really cool. And so I thought we would cuddle. But Ted is like hot like nobody's business. And he snores. His body is hot. And so I was like, this would be like a cool experience for us. And so he started snoring like, and I was like the first night. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to get into another room. You know, like, where are my earplugs? But the expectation was, that's what couples do. But we, like, we don't do that because, like, I can't even, like, you know, I'm shoving in earplugs now. 13 years later, I know, it's fine. But the expectation was, here we were going to have this perfect marriage of whatever it was in my head, that whatever perfect marriage was supposed to be, that's what we were going to have. And here I am 13 years later, I believe in faith, but I just have my expectations a little bit more practical, that this is, that Ted, that this family is, it's still Jesus. There's still heaven. There's still a better place. And when we go into a blended family, couples have this expectation that they're going to get better really quickly, like a microwave. You ever put something in a microwave? Yesterday I did some, what did I do? What was it called? Monkey bread. Monkey bread. You ever had monkey bread? It's like biscuits. It's chopped up with cinnamon. My mom cooks monkey bread. It takes her 3 hours. I found some monkey bread, and so I put it in the microwave. 2 minutes, y'all. 2 minutes. I shove it in the microwave, and I take it out, and it looks like 2 minute microwave monkey bread. It is terrible, but like that's what we want in our families, right? We want like really really good monkey bread, but that good monkey bread takes 3 hours with some pecans on top and everything really nice. And we put our monkey bread in the mirror, not in the mirror. In the microwave 2 minutes later, expecting that it's going to be the 3 hour one. Guys, 3 hours is 3 hours. It's good because it took 3 hours to make. And sometimes families get better with time. I know ours is. Ours is good. As I get to know them, as we get to be a family together, our expectations are a little bit more sensible and a little bit more like, oh, that's who he is. Oh, that's who she is. That's who we are together. This is our family, not picture perfect, not doing all the things right away all the time. But we love Jesus, and we're following him, and because of that, and because I've lowered my expectations. Somebody say, lower your expectations. It helps. I'm telling you, it helps. Point number two we have.
And so in the expectations, you might have to change the expectations with a time frame. You might have had a certain time frame where you thought that everything was just going to gel together. Maybe you have to change your expectations with the love that is reciprocated back to you. You know, you're giving love unconditionally, hopefully, but it's not being reciprocated back to you the way you thought it would. You thought, man, they would just love you because you're loving them. And sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. And change your expectation on the way that you thought it would happen. It doesn't always happen our way. It happens the way God, you know, going back to Abraham's story, it didn't happen his way. It wasn't the Burger King mentality, the microwave mentality. It was God's way. And God's way often takes time. Yeah. And so for Abraham's promises to be fulfilled, it took time. And so if nothing else that you leave from this today, that's probably one point that we're going to stress throughout this, that it just takes time. The next point is that we're going to lead with prayer and humility. Prayer is so powerful. So if you're in a blended family and you're having some issues, you're having trouble just, you know, relating to maybe your stepkids or your stepmother, your stepdad, whatever it may be, and you're having these issues, prayer is so powerful. And it's a tool that God has given us that we can talk directly to God. He says you can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. That you have that access as a child of God. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about your blended family. Do not be anxious about relationships that doesn't seem to be going as you have planned. Don't be anxious about those things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so there is a promise of peace in that situation. There's a promise that as you begin to pray and make your petitions known to God, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to understand how to reach this kid. Help me to be a better stepfather. Help me to be a better stepmother. Help me, oh Lord. That's the prayer that the Lord hears whenever we humble ourselves and say, God, we don't have all the answers. You know, and as parents, we don't have all the answers. And whenever we get to that point where we're humble about it and say, God, I need your help. I don't know what to do in this situation. And he is a God who comes right alongside of you and helps you. He encourages you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And we hold on to scriptures like Philippians 4:6, that we can pray in all things. We can give thanks and prayer in all things, and that God will give us peace in those situations. So there's a level of prayer, there's a level of humility that we must have whenever we are raising our children. So I would say pray again, and pray some more, all right? Pray that God will heal the brokenness of their lives. In blended families, there's a lot of brokenness. As a child, you're hoping and expecting that mom and dad would just live forever together, you know, and whenever that's broken, That's some hurt that comes along with that brokenness. So pray that God will begin to work in them and heal their brokenness. Pray that God will bring your family closer together in unity. Pray against all negative distractions, all negative influences off of their lives. And pray that the hearts will be softened to receive your love. And so, like we said, it may not happen like tomorrow. Yeah. And it may not happen like this week or next year or 10 years from now. But this... Know that as you're bathing this thing in prayer, that you're putting it before the Lord, you're placing it in God's hands. You're saying, God, I'm just putting it in your hands, and I'm trusting you with all the details of my life. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to pray consistently. I'm going to be humble and walk in humility. And so our next point is speak their love language.
Well, on the prayer thing, Victor had this on his stand, and this is oil. And we had given this out a couple weeks, a month ago at church, and everybody got one. And, you know, I will pray over my kids' room. I will go. So I use, like he said, praying and fasting for us. And so, like, I will just, whenever they're sleeping, they don't know, whenever they're acting crazy. Anybody got crazy kids? And so, and if you have older kids or stepkids or whatever, it works the same. And so, because God just promises that he will be in that. And so I will go anoint them. I will literally take the oil out of the thing, and I will just go place my hand on their door and say, in the name of, I speak the name of Jesus. You don't have to be a fancy prayer. You can pray this over your marriage. You can pray this over your kids, over your blended family. Young people, pray this over your schools. I'm just including that in there because I know you're like, I don't have family, Miss Tara, but pray it over your schools. I did that at Homer Junior High School. God begins to move. And add to that fasting for your kids and for your family and your blended families. There has been no greater power whenever we are in a rough spot. Then I know the enemy's attacking. You ever have those moments the enemy's attacking your family? And so you know the enemy's attacking, so you've got to get busy on the offense. You take out your anointing oil, you begin to fast, give up a meal, give up two meals, go somewhere and spend some time with the Lord for that kid or for that situation or for your relationship or for your marriage, whatever it is, say, God, this is serious enough that I am going to lead with prayer. I'm going to lower my expectations, yes, but I'm going to lead with prayer and with humility. And guys, I am telling you, there has been some real breakthrough in our family because of this, because we have anointed our kids' rooms. We've done this, I think, together. We've done this together. At one point, they didn't even know. They were all sleeping. They're probably like, y'all did that? We did that. And so we did it because we believe that that's not who they were. That's not who they were, that we need to fight for them, fight for their souls. You have to fight for your family, even if you're just by there, by your single mom and single dad, and you got to fight for your family. You got to fight for them and believe God for them. The enemy is on attack, and he's attacking families. He is attacking families because why? It represents Jesus. This represents what we have as family, represents Jesus. Number three, speak their love language. Everybody say, speak their love language. I love this. There's a famous book in the 90s by Gary Chapman, and he wrote a book called The Five Love.
process. So we have this little slow cooker right here. And Tara mentioned the microwave earlier, where we like things fast, right? I mean, that's why microwaves are invented, right? That's why drive-through lines are invented, because we want things our way right away. Right. And so what we need to think of is that with the blended family, perhaps, you know, you go into a blended family thinking that, you know what was broken and what has been, you know, just torn apart, there's this hope going into a blended family that things are going to be better, right? That there's going to be some restoration, that there's going to be some healing, that it's going to be a better family situation. And with the slow cooker mentality is that, you know what, you will get there, but, you know, just like when cooking with a slow cooker, it takes time,
yeah,
right? You put your roast and your carrots and your potatoes and everything else in here, and you can't just come back 10 minutes later and expect that it's going to work, right? And that the food's going to be very savory. But it takes time. You're talking like hours, you know, for that meat to tenderize and to absorb all those juices. And so I know I'm getting you hungry, right? Thinking about roast and rice.
That sounds really good. That sounds really good.
And so it takes time. We have to have this slow cooker mentality. God, I'm believing in your promises. I'm believing that we're going to eventually get there. We're going to have this family. It's going to be blended well, and we're going to walk in accordance to your ways. But God, I just understand it might take time. And so I'm going to be patient with the process. I'm going to have patience. God, help me to have patience with the process. Sometimes we get a little too anxious, right? We want to kind of push things our way. Just be patient with the process. Hold on to the word of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right?
Right? Hold on to that and believe that. Believe that with all of your heart. And so just learning to have patience. But and meanwhile, your job as a parent is to continually love, you know, unconditionally, even sacrificially, continue to pour out love, love, love. You know, they might even rebel against you. They might even push further away during this time of waiting. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Continue. Ultimately, love wins. Amen. And so if you are consistent in loving your child and continually, you know, we talked about praying and just walking in prayer and believing God, you're going to see a breakthrough. You know, you can, you know, speak in their love language. You begin to apply these things into your life. I promise you, you're going to see a breakthrough. It may not happen tomorrow, and it may not happen next week or 3 months from now, but amen, you're holding on to God's promises. It will happen one day. So we have this slow cooker mentality rather than a microwave mentality. Amen. And so one of the ways of the opposite of being patient is being frustrated, complaining about the process, right? Nitpicking, just nitpicking every little thing. That's not being patient with the process. And so we must ask God to help us. God, help us. Help me to have patience. God, I'm about to lose my patience. God, I have no more patience. Help me. And he will. And so patient crockpot mentality is going to happen. I must persistently pursue at a pace that the child can receive.
And the last one is put your marriage first. And can you start playing the music? We're going to pray, but you know, one of the things as we lower our expectations, we begin to pray and fast. We're starting to speak love languages that people understand. And take time this week. Figure it out. If you're in a relationship or if you're like with a family, like figure out your kids' love language. Figure out your spouse's love language, and start doing it. They'll be so amazed. They'll be like, wow, you know, because I didn't understand that about Ted. I was like, I didn't really need that, so but he did. And I think with put your marriage first is that in life the marriage is the example of the church, Jesus and Christ and the relationship that we have with God. And so whenever you put your marriage first and you go to each other first, you're honoring, first of all, you're honoring the Lord, but you're also reflecting the Lord. And so remember that the kids are the benefit, are the arrows that we get. We talked about that last week, how we get to shoot them like arrows with plans and purposes. But at the end of the day, like Ted and I often think about this, is that whenever our kids are gone and they're having their own kids and generations of people that love Jesus is our goal, and that are loving and honoring Jesus, we're together. Like we're the ones that are going to be at the end of this. And so to honor each other, don't let the enemy come into the marriage through blended or through kids and say, okay, well, like start adding division or start adding things. Guys, this is a biblical way to honor the Lord, is to honor by me honor and respecting Ted, by Ted loving me as his wife, and then also for us pursuing Jesus together. We do that together. And so we want to encourage you to have strong families, to blend together well. And maybe I had a young person, he was in his 20s, and he said, you know what, Miss Tara, he said, he's young, he's single, he's looking to date. And he said, in the world today, he said, whatever woman I probably pick will probably have a kid with her, because that's just sort of the statistics of the world. He's a believer, he loves Jesus, and he said it's just hard. It's hard out there for single people, because you might find yourself in a blended relationship. You might find yourself where the spouse that you attach to has a kid or two, or you know, and we just want to say there's great hope in that God can move. And if both the people in the relationship are following Jesus, then God can really work through that and restore. I love what Ted said at the beginning. God wants to restore families. He wants to restore the family, the unit of family, and he uses family. Use his family for his glory. So today we want to pray over you. If you have a blended family, we're going to ask that you would just stand to your feet. If you have a blended through adoption, fostering, if you are, if you know of someone that is blended family, would you stand up as well? And you just want to stand in the gap for them and say, you know what, I want to have prayer over their family. Can you just stand? We're just going to stand to your feet and we're just going to pray. If you know of someone that's divorced, would you stand and say, hey, I'm gonna stand and pray? Sometimes as believers, all we have to do is just stand in the gap. Maybe they're in your family, your aunts, your uncles, or nieces or nephews or things like that. But guys, family is important. And the enemy tries to divide families. But I just want to say that there is hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Can you just extend your hands and we're going to pray over you, Pastor. Just praying and believing God for families, especially those, the blended families. Just lift our names up before Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, I lift up every marriage, every family that is represented in this place. God, I just pray, Lord, for your hedge of protection, God, over them and over their families. God, I pray that they will blend well. Lord, that you will show them how to love well. Lord, that they will speak their child's love language continually and at a pace that they can accept it, oh God. We pray, Lord, just with disciplinarians, God, that they will respect each other and just honor each other in that. And Lord, we just thank you for what you have joined together. And Lord, we know, Lord, we see the end result and we can taste it. We know it's going to be good. God, it's going to be a well, you know, it's going to be a smooth family. Everything is going to go well. But, Lord, we know that there's going to be a process. And so, Lord, today we pray that you will give us patience, Lord, in the process. Lord, as we are waiting, as we don't see the results that we are wanting to see, Lord, that we will learn to be patient, oh God, and trust you and go before you, Lord, with prayer and humility continually, Lord, just laying our kids at your feet. So, Lord, today, Lord, would you work in us? I pray just that you would encourage every couple, Lord, today. Lord, you would strengthen their marriage, Lord. Lord, that they would put you first, that you would be first and foremost in their lives, oh God, and then each other, and then their kids, and then everyone else. God, help us to prioritize the way that the Bible would want us to prioritize. And to love our wives as Christ loved the church. God, we just thank you so much for every family, Lord, that's in this place. strengthen and encourage them, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, give them hope, Lord, for a brighter tomorrow. And God, just place dreams within their hearts, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, for all the children, the kids who are dealing, who are in blended families, God, be with them, protect them, O God, keep them safe. Lord, keep them trusting and believing. Lord, keep them loving and doing their part, O God. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Join us next week. We're talking about breaking generational curses and our extended families. So that'll be the end of the series. It's going to be awesome. So we love you guys and see you next Sunday.